Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yes, hey, I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Tonight in studio, I'm going to butcher your name. Stephane, and say your last name.
Larakis,
okay.
Larakis.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. This is Stephane, and I just met Stephane through a mutual friend, Gaza X. And we went over to a studio to, is it Calibrate or?
What's that? The
tape machine?
Dial in, calibrate.
Yeah.
Make it sound like it works.
And yeah, what you guys were tuning it, right?
Yeah.
Tuning it to your equipment and all this good stuff. Ultrasound Studios, right?
That's right.
It's a recording studio that Stephane, you're... Partners, owner, what?
Tell me. I guess I started it. I have a partner now. His name is John Siebels.
Uh-huh.
He moved in a year ago, and since he moved in, it's helped us move forward a lot with a lot of the gear and a lot of clients and stuff like that. But really, I kind of been slowly working on it for 10 years.
Right.
Learning every little thing and what the wires do and
how to
play the instruments. And
But, I mean, you guys treated me, I mean, that's, you left an impression on me. You guys made me feel like I was at home. And, I mean, this place is immaculate. It's awesome. The vintage instruments just hanging around and everywhere. So, I mean, just really left an impression on me. So, Stephane was gracious enough to come on the show and, let us learn a little bit about his life and what he does here in L.A. So.
Are you going to talk about the studio a bit?
No, I think I want to get into, I think I want to get into his life.
All the insanity?
Yeah. I want to get into his life coming up. Yes. And there was a little bit of drug use and that thing. I want to see if you want to just talk about that a little bit.
Well, I, you know. In the end, it just comes down to, I was a confused kid.
There it is, huh?
I was looking for answers and never finding them, and just decided to run away from the world.
And that's, you use the drugs to do that, but when you're saying answers, what kind of answers? I mean, what kind of questions were you asking?
Kind of like, why?
Like
why
what?
A lot of things, you know, why me, why you, why humanity? I've come up with this new kind of saying that the world would be an amazing place if it wasn't for humans. That's kind of my new thing.
Well, I think that's probably very accurate.
Myself included, definitely.
Oh,
We
weren't looking at you thinking, no, he's excluding himself from that. No, I wasn't thinking that a bit. But,
well, so anyways, when I was a kid, you know, I just never understood why, and always searching for that and tried to stay away from all the confusion and searching for that answer. Doing drugs, meeting people, seeing how the world works, you know. Uh-huh. No one has an answer. So I really wanted to go out and experience, you know. And I'm still far from the answer.
Okay, now go ahead.
But I definitely ended up on drugs, you know, searching for that and messed up my life a bit. If you want to say it that way.
I think you can say it that way. But we were talking out there about your upbringing in France, French citizenship.
And, yeah.
But you were saying some stuff about your grandmother or something, and Mother Mary's pregnancy and all kinds of stuff. Can you touch on that just a little bit?
Luckily enough, my mother's friends, since she always insisted on me, you know, and my brother and sister knowing about that sort of side of our life. Mm-hmm. So when we were kids, we spent time in France, you know, at my grandmother's, and, you know, I was bored. I didn't know, understand why. Mm-hmm. I had a horrible life, and I had to be in France with my, you know. But I'm glad I did it, because I got to see and experience another life besides America. Mm-hmm. And see how other people do it. And see history, true history.
Oh, man.
Like, you know, the things in Europe. I mean, you know, America being 200 years old, mm-hmm. we're babies.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing here.
We're still freshmen.
We are, you know.
Yeah.
We act, as my friend Xander wrote a song for the Circle Jerks and that I recorded, and he called it Cops of the World, and mm-hmm. it was about America acting like we're cops of the world. And the way I see it is, I thought it was amazing, because I just see it as, you know, us being teenagers, kind of being the bullies, you know, the big guys on campus, mm-hmm. trying to push everybody around and act like we know better than they do.
Hey, well, you know what? That's another whole show.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm just saying, but yeah, the stuff you were saying, but man, you know what? I'm like thinking, you're like thinking, well, I'm in France. Or no, you call it France.
Yeah, I'm so used to saying it like that.
Yeah, so
it's definitely, you know, I was a kid. School was over. I wanted to be with my friends the summer, going around, being a, you know, little jerk, you know, going to the beach, doing the stuff you do in the summers. But, mm-hmm. you know, I was with my grandmother and French people, you know, just staying at my grandmother's house, just kind of mellow, eating dinner with, the, you know, family stuff. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was a crazy little kid, so what do you expect, you know?
And I know, but looking back, you're like...
I appreciate every second of it now. I couldn't ask for anything better.
And that's what I guess, not to get way off track, but the children nowadays, and you know what, though, I guess in their defense, it's like you said, you couldn't really see it at that time, and the stuff that you wanted to do was like, it was awesome stuff, natural stuff. You like hanging with your friends, and you grew up where?
Rhode Island.
Is that like surrounded by water?
It's a state.
No, that's what I said.
On the East Coast.
It is East Coast.
That's what he said when I met him. It's, yeah. He says, it's a state. Yeah. So that's
hey, a lot of people mistake it.
For an
mistake
island.
Mistake it for yeah. who knows what.
Yeah. So anyway, you grew up in Rhode Island and went to France and that whole thing. And the drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I left home young and just going out searching and followed bands around and traveling around and hitchhiking, finding people with cars, hanging with all the old guys.
What year was all this going on?
I mean, you know, I was 13, 14, 15, up until...
Oh, my goodness. You know, and you were hanging out with bands at 13
well,
or 14 years old?
I mean, I was following bands. I was following people. I was with all the old, you know, 19, 20-year-old people. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're that age, you look at those guys, and it's kind of a, like, wow, these old guys, they have beards, and, you know, they know life. They know, you know, you're kind of searching for something. They might have more of an answer than you.
And what years, what were the years, do you think, or
I mean,
can you estimate?
It must have been 90s. Oh. Sometime early 90s maybe.
It's a baby still.
He's still a baby.
Yeah, I was born in 78, so
whoa.
That's you know, do the math.
Hey, that's awesome, man. I ain't mad.
Well, that's the last thing I want to do is make you mad.
There so. You go. Okay, so you just got into the drug scene and some things happened. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, I did a lot of mischief and got arrested a few times and mm-hmm. did a little time here and there. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the last thing I really did in Rhode Island, well, I'd been gone and then back, but, you know, I flipped the car, landed on my head, was in a coma for a while. And had to learn how to walk and talk.
Wait a minute. What's a while?
What's that?
What's a while?
3 months.
Oh.
It was probably the best time of my life.
And you know,
I didn't have anything to do.
That cracked me up because you were kind of talking about it in the studio, and they said 3 months is a long time, and you go, not to me.
Yeah, it was nothing, man.
You like just went out and woke up, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So how long did it take you to learn how to do everything again?
Well, I think from what I remember, I had about a month in the recovery hospital, and you know, I was in a wheelchair, and it was kind of like classes in a way. Like I had a physical hour in the day. And then I had these two women or girls or whatever they were that kind of helped me with my speech stuff and remembering words and all that. And, you know, I forget kind of what the rest of them were, but some along those lines. I remember I got out of the hospital. I still couldn't, you know, walk, you know, 10 feet without being completely just done, ready to lay down, take a nap. But and then I went to outpatient rehabilitation, and of course I dropped out of that because I'm a dropout. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
Never good enough for me.
Oh, okay. So, but you were telling me also that that's where, and I don't know if you were just kidding or not, but you're saying basically that that's where you picked up the guitar, right?
No, I actually, you know, I came out here after that. 9 months after I got out of the hospital, my brother and I was back on drugs, and my brother and I came to California to so we could be homeless in a warm area. That was the intention of it.
Her and I were just having that conversation about where. I guess Miami and Los Angeles are the
most
popular.
That was it. That was the two choices. We chose this one.
And I'm glad you did, but but that's what sometimes people choose where to be homeless at because of the weather conditions.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I was so out of it. I didn't even know Hollywood was here. I didn't know much about L.A. The only thing I remember knowing is the Rodney King riots.
That's the
only thing I know. And warm weather.
And stay in the car, right? Stay in the car.
Yeah. All right.
Don't get out the car.
Oh yeah. I wasn't there, but you know.
Right. So
I remember hearing about it.
So, Shantae, did you any more questions? Or?
Kind of already discussed my question.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You
but,
don't have
I
any,
mean, I kind of wanted
out of straight,
to
straight up. Curiosity.
Yeah, I have curiosity. I wanted to know, like, what bands you were following and kind of what your influences are in music in general.
Well, I was always, I listened to the Grateful Dead back when I was a kid, and Frank Zappa was always a huge fan of that. Nice. And I loved everything. First of all, my first music ever was, like, soul stuff, Aretha Franklin and James Brown. And, Etta James and, you know, Sun House, you know, pretty much where most of rock and roll comes from,
right.
All those guys. And, you know, I was just, I never really had much music because I never really spent money on getting it, you know, back then before you could download it and stuff. And I loved just rhythm. I loved just, you know, how people can play a song and have it hit you in such a way that, you know, it really just brings you somewhere else. You know, I've always loved music and always wanted to be involved in it. But of course, you know, drugs is my number one. So it just kind of took me for a spin before I got to it.
How did you then get... After you came to California, is that when you got involved in the music part of it?
Yeah. Eventually, when I got into rehab.
Again?
I mean...
No, I'm just saying, are you talking about the first rehab, or did you have to go again?
Well, I mean, back east, I went to detox again and again and again. Hitching across the country to try and run away from the drugs and, you know, tons of different attempts like that. But, out here, I went to, I ended up in a rehab out here.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gave me a classical guitar and I picked it up and I said, I love this.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I always knew I did. I've, you know, lightly played the guitar. But then, you know, kind of what I say is I gave up drugs being one word, one little thing in this planet, in this universe. I gave up drugs for everything else, you know?
That's cool.
And that's cool. It's a good trade,
yeah.
You know, to trade off one thing which didn't seem that small at the time because my mind and myself and my life was so involved in it, my way of living. But definitely when I try and look at it that way, it's, you know, I can't be mad at myself or anything because only good things have come since I gave it up.
Do you think that coming out of, you know, giving up drugs and being rehabilitated out of, you know, able to walk, and I mean, anybody that can see you now, you know, you act, you know, normal, like nothing has ever happened to you. Like, you know, unless you would have said you were in this car accident and you were completely, you know,
discombobulated.
Yeah. No one would know the difference in, you know, seeing you now. I mean, so it's just great. Do you think that God played a part of that, or did you have faith that he was going to bring you through that, or what drove you to push on?
I don't know exactly. I believe in, you know, higher power much beyond myself.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I know nothing about myself, so how can I claim to know anything about anything else, you know?
Mm.
I do know that, you know, my ex-girlfriend, this girl Biddy, that I loved so much.
Watch yourself. Watch yourself.
She ended up dying, had a car accident very similar to mine after I got out of the hospital, after mine, which is kind of crazy, and she ended up dying. And I was so mad at myself for being someone who lived, being the person that I was, and her being the sweetest, most gentle person in the world, that would die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always regretted who knows what, being me, you know, just because of that. But in the end, that did help me. She, who I think of as out there in
heaven.
Heaven
is a good word.
She would definitely be in heaven. Yeah.
Okay.
But I definitely did a lot at first when it was hard to do for myself. I was doing it for her, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. eventually getting to the place where, you know, I could do it for me. And
got you.
You know,
that was basically your drive or your incentive.
It was, and you know, there's also other people too. You know, I mean, definitely. My friend Jason Pepper, he definitely was a guy that I met in the rehab and was kind of the first guy I got along with out here. And just in the end, I had a choice to make because I used drugs the last weekend in rehab and I got kicked out. And I kind of, you know, saw that there was the life. I like took one step into this other life. And, you know, I just... My friend Jason definitely being a big part of it, showing me that it existed. And because of that and because of him, I took that path, mm-hmm. the path that I'm on now. And I'm very grateful for all that.
You know, I saw a lot of, like when I saw Geza, you know, he's, you know, I don't know what the relationship is, but, you know, he's over there helping set things up and, you know, just a relation where, you know, it's a giving.
Yeah,
a giving thing, and you guys seem very appreciative. Okay, and I say that because I mean I'm probably a pessimist or pessimistic person, but I don't know. But you guys really seem appreciative for his help and
course.
that whole thing. And see, that's in this crazy world that we're living in now, it's everybody expects everything, but then they want to spit on you if you have a suggestion even that they don't necessarily...
Everyone knows better.
Yeah, agree with. And I also like that part of it that, you know, you guys were appreciative and open up your home and that whole thing. And that's what I'm, you know, I'm like really into seeing people keeping it together like that and holding it together like that when this whole world around us is just everybody's just going stupid crazy with their own self-interest.
Well, it's definitely people like Geza and yourself that make me and, you know, other people like my, you know, John Siebel's my partner, realize that good people exist, you know?
Well,
we appreciate every little thing.
You can put Geza in that, but man, I'm...
Oh, come on.
After you got out of rehab, everything, how did you go from getting out of rehab to having a studio? How did that transition go?
You know, what I say to people is, if you're born in New England, you're born with a pencil in your ear, meaning you're just kind of naturally good at doing things, making things, you know, being a blue-collar worker, fixing, making, you know. I grew up, I mean, the first car I had, I built when I was 15. I taught myself how to, you know, build an engine. And
whoa.
I've always been good with, I was always in the basement making things and doing stuff. And, you know, after I got interested in music, I was going to thrift stores and looking for old reel-to-reels and microphones or whatever had something to do with sound that I could get for the $1.50 that I had.
And
I'd bring it home and tear it apart and break it and, you know, try and figure out how to fix it. And eventually, just, you know, it's been 11 years that I've been kind of slowly learning all this stuff and just... You know, the path goes, it grows quicker and quicker, and I learn more every day and, you know, get more involved and, you know, get involved with people that can teach me more. And
well, I know your studio impressed Willis. You know, he's been talking about it ever since he went with Geza down there when you guys were working on that reel-to-reel or whatever it was.
Yeah, he was mentioning something about sand that you guys...
Oh, made. Yeah. I mean... I was a nut job back then. I was trying to make a soundproof room and did a subfloor and poured sand in it and built the wall with double drywall and poured sand in that and then got glass tabletops from thrift stores and built windows for, you know. Just, I mean, I was insane. I don't know if I am it anymore, but
I mean,
I was definitely getting a little crazy.
Well, that's another thing that impressed me is that you said it takes, you're not afraid of hard work, you know, and I can only imagine because I've done some hard work.
Yeah.
I think back years and years ago, you know, Willis, you converted the part of the garage over to a semi-sound type thing and you were, you know, didn't go with sand, but he was using egg cartons and all kinds of other things and, you know, double drywalling and doing different things. So when he mentioned about the sand, it was like, oh, my gosh, I've kind of visualized.
I forget to say that it's like an insulation. So when I say the floor is sand, they think that...
I says, are you standing on the sand?
Yeah, it's not like a beach. It's in the wall. I found that... You know, works really well. I tested so many different things, wasted a lot of time and money and, you know, but, you know, for the amount of space you have and all that, it's just, well, I like to be a scientist, you know?
Yeah, I know. So to me, it's like you say wasted time, but it's not wasted time. It's research.
Yeah, it's all learning. Yeah. I love learning. I have a teeny brain, but I love to use it, so...
Well, I think back when you say, you know, you're from Rhode Island, it's cold back there and it snows. So I'm thinking, you know, you said you had a pencil behind your, you have a lot of time.
Well,
where
in your ear, he said.
Yeah.
Behind your ear. Oh, you know.
The carpenters
put the ear.
No.
Pencil
behind
on the ear.
When he said that, I saw a pencil.
I knew what you meant.
I got to write all the good stuff in my brain.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, you know, it's cold outside and you can't, you know, out here in California, we don't have the cold, so it's like we're constantly outside doing whatever we want to do. There, you're hemmed up inside a place, the basement or whatever, for months at a time. So
or doing work building a roof in the middle of the winter.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of that, man.
Wow.
So I can see where you can, you know, like you said, you're a scientist, but I think you have a lot better opportunity coming from that colder area where you weren't out there running to the beach in the middle of December because it's,
I mean,
you know,
truthfully, all the time I had out there was on drugs. So I wasn't doing much else than you know, hustling.
Right.
You know, doing, wanting to do good, but, you know, attached to something bad.
I know about it. But still, we got a break for what's going on out there. So let's take care of that. And then we'll be right back.
All right, it's time to have a look at what's going on and where you can get it going on. The best impressions start at home. Elite furniture for affordable prices. Live in large furniture. For more information, contact Richard Boyd at 951-214-8555. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly Veterans Theater workshop led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Erlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6. A free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information about this, you can contact Melvin Johnson at 213-908-6567 or email them at dramastage1@yahoo.com. Also, speaking of Drama Stage Qumran, the Nasona Play Reading Series will present a reading of their play, Catch the Tiger, on Friday, February 13th at 7 p.m. at the USC United University Church. The address for that is 817 West 37th Street, Los Angeles, California, 90089. Again, contact Melvin for more information about this. Again, his number is 213-908-6587. Positive Light is back with the kayak. If you know anything about Positive Light's history, we take the children kayaking, inner city kids, out of city kids, everyone. The fundraiser will be August 22nd, and the kayaking trip will be September 19th. So let's all get ready for that. Like to thank our engineer Cheyenne. You're doing a great job. Thank you so much. Amazing. If you would like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, you can contact us at 951-789-1046. And to learn more about our organization, Positive Light Ministries, and make a donation, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. And now back to our discussion with Stefan.
Hey, great job, Shante.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, so.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah. So what I want to do now is like, man, I think it's great. This is great. I'm having a good time. I mean, I'm not eating. I'm having a very good time when
but
I'm
still
eating.
Still having a good time.
Yes, yes. It's hard.
It's hard to do that. It's tough. So, I can vouch for that.
But I want you to perform for it right now, okay, if you can. I mean,
I can, yeah.
Are you good?
You know, it's been a while. I haven't been singing much, and I practiced a little bit earlier just to try and give you all that I can.
Well, you know what? This is real. You see this is real, right?
Yeah.
And we're real people, right?
I'll do it for you.
There you go.
Mr. Willis over here.
I appreciate it, because it's just be comfortable, be yourself.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I'll do what I can.
Okay. All right.
Well, I got two songs here, so let me get my guitar.
All right. Oh yeah, Stefan's getting ready, and
we're watching him get ready.
Yes, and he's getting ready while we're watching him get ready.
You guys are really good at watching me get ready.
Yeah. Yes, yes, we are good at watching.
Professional.
Yes, we're professional watchers, and just excited about everything going on. This whole world's falling. It's like the whole planet's gone bananas, but we're like here right now. And we're just chilling. You know, right down the way, is it the Grammys going on tonight?
Yeah.
And we're here, beautiful downtown LA, Skid Row Studios, chilling, getting ready to just have a good time with Stefan.
Hey, check. All right. Okay, here we go.
Hey. Sounds good.
Yeah.
That guitar sounds really good too.
Yeah, it's it puts strings on it for the first time in who knows how long.
But no,
it's a whole nother guitar, man. It's
definitely sounds great.
Changed. So that one, you know, I hope you get the idea what it's about. It's kind of about traveling and,
yeah,
and being like everything in my life, but searching.
Yeah,
being
but
being lost.
Was you mentioned the dragon.
The dragon. I mean, you know.
Yeah, listen to that.
Lots of my
those lyrics.
They can all be perceived in different ways, mm-hmm, and they're kind of meant to, you know. It's like drugs and mm-hmm confusion and spirituality and, you know, everything. Love, love is a big part of everything. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of love.
So coming out here is what inspired it, or before you came out here? Or?
I think what inspired it is confusion. And I think it always will, because I think I'll always be confused. But at least, I've made, you know, my friend Xander, who I talked about a minute ago, he was always telling me to make a decision on choosing one thing and doing it, which, you know, I remember as a kid always hearing, you got to choose something and do it. I was like, man, I can do everything, you know, but the older I get, which is not that old, but, you know, at least learning a few things that there isn't enough time. Okay. Time is going fast every minute.
Yeah.
And
getting faster.
And, you know, I've kind of decided, I've narrowed it down a little bit. I still wander off from time to time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the end, I just like doing this. And I'm going to try and stick to it and sing about confusion.
Hey.
Know, love and confusion and
you know, I don't know if you...
At least let people know that I'm there with them.
Yeah, a lot of us are. A lot
maybe,
of us.
Maybe help somebody see that they don't know everything too, you know?
Well, what's whatever. Next? What's your next song?
This one's kind of very similar in a way of traveling and being lost and, you know, all that yummy stuff. So yeah. Let's see if I can do it right for you. Father stars, black the earth, deep the sea. It's not a dream, I bleed reality. Throwing stones in the street. The world of ends.
Very nice, Stefan.
Thank you.
Very nice, man. Serious. That's a treat, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
What do you say?
That was a treat.
It's almost like you. It's like, what you talking about? What is that?
What is that?
I'm sure you heard that one before.
What was that, like 84,137?
What's that?
That's how many times I've heard it.
Oh, yeah. You know what's funny, though, is I played in this band, Peach, and we actually opened for the guy in that TV show that says that.
The little guy, right? Gary Coleman?
Not Gary Coleman, but the guy, his older brother in it, in that, or something like that. He played, whatever it is. He plays a show, and we opened for them.
Wow.
And I thought it was a treat just to be somehow involved in that old school show, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
It was pretty cool.
So what's the inspiration behind that one you just did? I mean, basically the same thing, but...
They're both very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you write them around the same time, or...?
No.
Okay.
No, I wrote... The first one you heard was kind of one of my last complete songs that I finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote it in like 45 minutes. Pretty quick. But the other one is an older one of that's been slow moving. All my stuff is slow moving, man. It's hard for me to get enough, feel good enough to actually, you know, feel like I have enough in me to do it.
I'm not buying it.
I mean, they're both just confusing, man. In the end, as a kid, traveling around and hopping in someone's cars and just driving around and, you know, looking for drugs to get into a different world,
mm-hmm.
to try and understand something and see different people and understand why some people are mean, some people are racist, some people are, you know, judge on just me having long hair,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is. I just...
People are people.
People are people, man. It's horrible. They stink.
Some of them do, man. Yeah.
No one's perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm thinking. But go ahead.
I don't know. I just, in the end, it's really just the same answer. In that, you know, that no one knows what the hell's going on, and you just kind of grow up and follow what you're shown. And whether you believe it or not, it just becomes a part of you. You know, I didn't want to do half the things I've done in my life because I know they're not good, but I did them because of what I brought myself, and it just kind of had to do it to survive, you know?
You know what I think is really a neat thing, and it's so many, you have never once pointed the finger at this is the way that, you know, because of my parents or because of the social pressure or because of anything. You've taken full responsibility for anything you've done upon yourself. And you don't hear that a lot. Now, I mean, I call you young because you're very young. But nowadays, the young folk, they tend to want to point the finger anytime something goes wrong or bad or anything else. It's always somebody else's fault. And you've completely taken full responsibility. And I just think that is just really, you know, amazing that you do that, because you just don't hear that hardly at all anymore.
Well, I'm not going to preach no sermons or nothing, but I think there's an answer, and I know what that answer is. I believe that answer is Jesus Christ. And that's just opening up a whole can of worms that I mean, if we can become friends or whatever, we can talk about that some other way. I'm sure you've heard it a million times or whatever, but I think, I mean, people say Buddhism and all these other things, karate, and, you know, there's... things that people
I'll take
do.
Karate.
And that's what I'm
I was
saying.
Talking the other night. I want to be a ninja.
Okay. Well,
close enough.
Don't do it because their outfits look like ISIS now. So, you know, we don't want nothing bad to happen to you. Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about the studio a little bit if you want to go there. Because, I mean, it's been brilliant ride so far.
What are you working on now with it?
Right now we've been working with a local band called La Cause, which is great.
Wait a second. I'm so sorry. Let me back up. I need to ask you something. Were you a roadie?
Yeah, I toured with a band called the Circle Jerks, like a punk band.
What was that like?
It was.
What was the genre?
Punk.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't hear
it's, that. I think it was like the first hardcore punk band. Uh-huh.
And, like what places did you guys go to?
Kind of went, I did a few tours with them, did West Coast and kind of across the country and back, you know, Texas down south through Georgia and Florida and then back up northern a little bit. I think we went and then back down through and up and down the West Coast, you know, Seattle and even Vancouver, the one time I've been to Canada.
Was it like crazy, the tours and stuff?
I mean,
with it being that genre,
it's work.
Like, yeah,
it's just work.
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. You learn about sound flow, right?
Not with that. I mean, with them, I was really just being the grunt. Yeah, selling t-shirts and helping with driving and
setting up,
tearing down.
Mm-hmm. A lot of heavy amps and. Stuff like that. And I'm friends, of course, with all those guys. And, you know, work like I keep saying, my friend Xander is a bass player in that band. And worked with him on a lot of stuff. And, of course, the Circle Jerks. I mean, the Weirdos as well. I've done a little touring with them. But it's tough, from what I've seen, is touring with people that are such good friends. Because when it gets into the work mode... friendship turns into work partner sort of thing, and everyone has opinions and all that stuff. So more I'm trying to get into a place where it's I like to help rather than work for it. You know, I'll help in little ways that I can, and I'd rather just work for myself and be friends with others. People are tough, man.
Yeah. It's a tough game.
Especially when it's like, you know, older guys that have been in this band for 30 years and everyone's got a separate opinion and they can't even get along and I'm just the new kid strolling along, you know.
You hear about that.
The new ways and all that stuff. But, my partner, John Siebels, now, when I first got off the street, Andrew Clark, I stayed in his basement for a while and was helping him with stuff. And he started a new band. And John, that's how I first met him 10 years ago, was playing guitar. And I kind of was with them a little bit, driving around and doing a few little snippets here and there. And so it's cool that all happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to learn things. And I met, you know, John, who I'm now teamed up with on making music and recording and doing stuff, and definitely learned a lot from him. So, you know, you get something from everything.
If you want.
Whether it be good or bad, it's all good.
Okay.
You know, I think bad things are just as good as the good things.
It's a learning experience. But okay, now let's go into the recording studio project.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I mean, this band we're working with, we're doing an EP for them, and they're great, amazing, like 14-piece band with, you know, singers and
what genre, or if you could, like,
with it's this guy Brian, Jesus, I forgot his last name. It's his band. He writes the music, and then he has a lot of other people come in and do stuff, and you know, it's great when they're, you know. If anyone hears this, if they want to see a good band, go check these guys out. And we're doing, you know, my roommate John was just producing a band from New York and trying to work on stuff with that. And I mean, I don't even know. My mind goes a blank when it comes to stuff like that. Kind of all over the place because there's
so much going on.
It's always different every day. Like this morning, I showed up and John was there. We had to set up drums for a local, like, East LA punk band called Pocket Rockets. And these guys are great. And just kind of doing that before I came here.
Okay, yeah. Now, everybody talks about how fabulous the drums sound in your studio.
Yeah, we did some for Geza, which he was really happy with, which to me is amazing because he's a legend of his own. I mean, he's incredible. He's one of the best. And like, so for him to appreciate is really cool.
He's like teaching me, and I'm like nothing, right? And I'm like, this guy, and I mean, he's just a regular guy, you know. The first time I think I saw him at one of Melvin's meetings,
theater workshop.
A theater workshop. Okay. I thought he was a homeless dude coming in to ask, could he use the bathroom?
I get that all the time, too, man.
So that's funny. You know, so laid back and just cool like that. But this dude's brilliant.
Yeah, he is. The stuff he says and knows. And
yeah, he's got this history that...
What I think is neat is that, you know, you guys can, you know, have a friendship and a relationship, you know, with each other that nobody's, it doesn't sound like anyway, is afraid that someone's going to steal somebody or ego's getting
in the way. And
oh, man.
We're here to make sure everybody so can become successful.
He will tell you anything he can and help you in any way he can, which is really cool.
And that whole thing with when you get into show biz and things, the egos and what you were saying about the bands and everybody's got a different opinion is like, it's not really an opinion. It's like just stinking ego.
It's my way or no way.
Just flaring. Up and that whole thing. So, Gaze is like, I'm learning a lot of stuff.
I mean, who knows? Maybe 20 years ago, he was the complete opposite, but, you know.
Oh, maybe.
I didn't know him then.
Yeah.
It just seems people change. You know, I was definitely in the 10, 11 years that I've been off the street and made friends with people, I've seen kind of slow changes occur to people and them become a little more
wise,
a little more simple and what's the word?
Old.
Pretty much. That's kind of what happens to people. No, you know?
They can't do it anymore because their bodies won't let them.
Well, I think
maybe that's the reason.
You know, when you do get, when you do get older, you know, when you're young, you're just so eager to do things. And you're just out there, just like you said, you need to focus on one thing instead of just bouncing around doing a million different things. And when you start focusing on one thing and you do it 10, 20 years, you learn a lot and you learn.
No, but you can't. I mean, he learned a lot doing a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can say
but
this
he's focused
and that,
but I'm saying he's focused on music, you know.
But
Stefan's focused.
I'm more focused on music. I still got a lot of other things.
Yeah.
I got enough things going on.
Yeah. My mind's going everywhere.
My mind's a little, you know.
But I think we all
have what they call ADD, which, you know, who knows how true it is or whatever, but, you know. If anyone's got it, I think I'm a good...
Yeah, I know, but I'm
means
like,
you're bouncing off the walls all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
but what I think is the key is him taking all of that and being able to understand that I need to focus. And a lot of people never get to that. You know, they're like, go through their whole lives.
Well, it's tough. I think the world the way it is and people having to work 2-3 jobs, even one really tough job, construction, a truck driving, who knows what, you know? I mean, you got to go out and work your ass off and you don't have time for anything.
Yeah, you know? That's what I tell the kids now. It's like when I was a kid, I didn't have to have insurance to drive. It's you got to be like almost rich just to be a kid wanting to have a car to, you know, have a decent job or to get around.
Yeah.
It's like back in the day, you just got in your car and you drove, you know. But now they want insurance and this and that, and nobody can afford that.
I mean, that's the insanity. I think, you know, the little bit that I know about other countries, you know, them supporting artists and making it so that it's possible for people to do music or make, you know, sculptures or whatever it is, you know, they support that and they want it because it's kind of what the world before America is based upon.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, the beauty that's out there. And, you know, I mean, I can't vouch exactly for what's going on in other countries, but from what I hear, it definitely.
Well, especially when you were telling us, your heritage is French and Greek. Those are two countries that really... have been known for promoting the arts and literatures and that type of stuff.
Yeah, learning.
You know, not out there, you know, expecting you to work 50, 60 hours a week you know, it's just a whole different lifestyle than what we have over here.
So it's funny, the country does that too, and then they get mad at us for being bad, of, you know, stealing, because I don't know, whatever it is, man. Yeah.
Well, we got to, we're like overtime right now, so I'm going to go ahead and say what I need to say, that we are never more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than when we are loving, forgiving, and creating.
Thank you for tuning in to Positive Perspective.